Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 13 through 16, Mark chapter 10. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. I'll read verses 13 and 15 if you'll join me there on verses 14 and 16. Beginning Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. And they brought young children to them that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And let's pray this morning. God, again, we have an opportunity to be in your house. I pray this morning that our hearts would be attentive to what you have. God, we're here, and so, Lord, I pray you'd rest our attention. The Holy Spirit will be in this place, and, Lord, give the preacher the words to say through your book. I pray that you'd use them. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're in Mark chapter 10 this morning, and I want to do something unusual today. Probably, I don't know that I've ever addressed this subject on a Sunday morning especially, but the Lord kind of brought it to my mind this week as I was pondering what direction to go in the message for this particular Sunday. I don't always feel compelled to preach along the theme of Baby Day on our own baby. In fact, I don't think I did last year. I went back through the archives a little bit and looked. But I want to speak this morning on this subject, when babies die, because that's something that comes up just from time to time through the course of life. What happens when babies die? Not every baby lives on earth. Not every baby lives on earth. So let me talk a little bit, and I want you to use your Bible this morning. Now, if you're not in a situation where it doesn't pertain to you, you might be in a circumstance someday where you could be a help to somebody else. Might be a co-worker. Folks, you got to remember, I preached a message sometime last year. I used it recently out of town, and God seemed to bless it, called Christianity is Not for Keeps. Christianity is not for keeps. We're saved forever. That's our, that, in fact, we don't have to keep that. God keeps that. But the things that we learn in the Christian life is not just for our benefit. The things that we learn in the Christian life are somebody else, for not only our benefit, but for us to share with somebody else. And it's not just for a pastor to share from the pulpit. It's for you to share with the guy at work whose wife has a stillborn baby or perished the thought their little child dies. And they're heartbroken and crushed. And what could you say to them? Maybe a grandparent that has an opportunity to be a blessing to their own children or others. And so, don't just dismiss the subject just because, well, I don't have any kids. My kids are all married and grown, and even grandkids having babies now. Don't dismiss a truth that God may be giving you this morning so that you can give it to somebody else. Okay, so let's talk about this today, and it'll be a little bit, won't be as much preaching as like last Sunday, as more maybe a little bit just more teaching and so forth, or what the Bible says. But let's pray. We're going to jump into it this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and I pray that you'll help us today in these moments. And Lord, they're fewer than normal because we're a little bit late starting into the message. But I pray that you'll help us to learn from your book. And Lord, if not for our own sake, to pass on to somebody else someday. In Jesus' name is my prayer made. And amen. It's a blessing to look back at the year 2015 and see that God gave 10 babies to the families of Faith Baptist Church. Folks, that's a lot of babies for one church, the church our size, to welcome into the church membership, if you will. Not the membership, but you know what I mean, into the families who are members of our church. Now, you couple that with the fact that we also enjoyed 5 weddings here last year, and one in Elgin, so we had 10 babies and 6 weddings in one calendar year. That's a lot of reason to celebrate. A lot of reason to rejoice. And we did that last year quite often throughout the births of these little babies and the weddings and so forth. We also had one of our couples go through the difficulty of delivering a stillborn baby. And that was back in March. And that happened to Ben and Ashley and little Sam. And although it wasn't here in the States, it was over in South Africa. They are an extension of our church here and the members and a part of it. And we would have recognized that this morning and had a Bible for Sam. But he was stillborn a little over 8 months into the pregnancy. And then from time to time, young couples will experience a miscarriage. Now, please don't hold this against me. I don't remember if any of our young couples went through a miscarriage last year or not. That's tough for me always to remember who goes through what when. But I know in my own family, some of our daughters have miscarried. Our daughters-in-law have both miscarried. I know here in the church family, from time to time, young couples go through the difficulty of a miscarriage. When those type valleys come to a couple, when you have a stillborn baby, or what's more difficult, seeing the baby at age 18 months pass away, or 2 years of age, or even a miscarriage. When those valleys come to a couple, the question sometimes comes up, Pastor, did my baby go to heaven? Do you believe my baby is in heaven? And you can understand, certainly you understand why a mother and a dad would have that question. You know, for a mother especially, more than anything, she wants to know that her child is safe. She wants to know that her child is safe. And that her child is cared for. That her child is protected. And you mothers here can understand that. Now, the Bible does not say explicitly that unborn babies or little children who die or are miscarried from the womb does not say that they go to heaven. Does not say that explicitly. Neither does the Bible say explicitly that they go to hell, separated from God forever. The Bible does imply, and there are more verses that imply, that God takes those little souls to heaven than there are verses that imply He doesn't. And I want to share some of those with you this morning. We won't have time to look at all of them. Now, I start here in Mark chapter 10 just as a foundational passage, and I won't go into all the details of what's going on here in the ministry of Jesus Christ, other than to say it is what He is. They brought the young children to Him for the purpose of Him touching them. And the disciples said, oh, no, He's too busy and don't do that. And when they did that, it displeased Jesus. And He said, no, you disciples, step aside. And He said, you let the little children come to Me, and of such is the kingdom of God, and so forth. And then He took them up in His arms in verse number 16, put His hands upon them and blessed them. You know, one of the things I enjoy about pastoring is the opportunity to go to a hospital or a house, as the occasion is, and see a little newborn baby. And oftentimes, the parents will say, Pastor, would you like to hold the little one? And, you know, I get the joy of holding a baby that is just hours old, maybe a day old or two, but it's the joy, it is a wonderful, blessed privilege of having a little baby to hold. And this is what happened here. These people brought these children to Jesus, and He picked them up and put them in His arms and put His hands on them. The Gospel of Luke uses the word infants. So I would imagine that both were there, infant babies and little children. So you've got kids maybe the age of 2 and 3, and then you've got infants, little newborn babies all bundled up, and their mothers bring them to the Lord Jesus and their dads, and Jesus has them in His arms. He puts His hands upon them and He blesses them. So at the very beginning, I think it's obvious we can establish the fact that God loves little children very much. God is not just interested in the man who can put the most offering in the plate. God is interested in every one of those little lives resting back there in cribs in that nursery. Every one of them. And He loves them all. And that's why, you know, we still sing the song on our bus routes and in our Sunday school classes and at different places in children's church. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. So I think we can establish that fact right at the very beginning. It's without a doubt that God loves little kids. He loves children. Now, I think we also need to establish at the beginning that little babies have a sin nature. They have a sin nature. We talked about that some in detail the last couple of Sunday nights. Psalm 51, verse number 5, David talked about the fact that his mother conceived him. He said, I was in sin when my mother conceived me. When he was conceived in his mother's womb, he possessed a sin nature. It's one of the verses that teaches us that life begins at conception. Life does not begin at 3 months pregnant or 6 months pregnant. Life begins at conception. The moment the baby is conceived in the womb, that is a life. All right? And the Bible says that when David was conceived, he said, when I was conceived, immediately I had a sin nature. That verse is not teaching that his mother had an immoral affair or relationship and was in sin when she conceived the little child. That verse is teaching that the little child had a sin nature the moment he was conceived in his mother's womb. The Bible also says in Psalm 58:3 that babies go forth from the womb speaking lies. And we talked about that, I think, last week. They go forth from the womb speaking lies. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So, we need to understand two things. God loves those little children as soon as they are conceived in the womb of their mothers. And those little children that God loves have a sin nature as soon as they are conceived in the womb. And I suppose that is why the question is asked about a baby's eternal destiny. Because we know that little babies have a sin nature. We know what the Bible says about the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. And that's not talking about just dying physically. That's talking about being separated from God forever and ever in the place that the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. Now, we know that. We understand the Bible's teaching. So here's a stillborn baby that God loves very much, but it still has a sin nature. Here's a little baby. Here's a little child at the age of 15 months or 3 years of age. And perish the thought, some horrible accident, and the baby, the little child dies. And we know that God loves the little baby, but the baby has a sin nature, and even a miscarriage. After several, you know, days or weeks, and there's a couple of weeks, and there's a miscarriage. And we know that that was a life. And God loves that little life, but that little life also had a sin nature. So you can understand why a parent, why a dad, a mom would say, do you believe that our baby is in heaven? Now let me show you some passages this morning. Let's go to the one that is the most familiar to everybody in 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And it's the story of King David, verse number 23, in that, about that part right there. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is after David has had an immoral affair with Bathsheba, a woman who was not his wife, and she conceived a child. And then David had her husband killed, so he wouldn't be found out. That's a horrible. So he not only committed adultery, committed murder, and now now the baby is sick. And David is mourning, and David is fasting, and he's grieving as the baby is sick, and the baby passes away. And as soon as the baby passed away, when David knew it, he quit fasting. He got up. He took a bath. He took a shower. He washed himself. He changed his garments, and he worshiped the Lord. Look at verse number 21. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. Watch what David said. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Here's the statement. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now, I like that, friend. David said, what can I do? The baby is dead. I can't fast. I can't pray any longer for God to be gracious and grant him life because the baby is dead. And then David made that famous statement, I shall go to him. That baby can't come back. That child is not coming back. You know, there's a dad and mom, and they're heartbroken, and that little baby there in their arms, and the baby is lifeless, and there's nothing they can do to bring that baby back to them in life. But I want to tell you, friend, thank God. If you're born again in one of God's children, you're going to go to where that child is. David said, I shall go to him. There's no doubt in my mind, friend, that David was a saved man. God refers to him being saved in the book of Romans, in Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 12. David said this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That word imputeth means charged. David said, blessed is the man to whom God has not charged sin or charged iniquity. Those who are saved, who are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, hey, look, friend, if you're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be charged with sin. Your account can't be charged. Your fellowship with God can be broken. But your account cannot be charged with sin. No doubt in my mind, but David was a saved man. I said, Romans chapter 5, God talks about that verse, the verses that I quoted to you from Psalm 32. And when David's little boy died, David said, you know, I can't bring the boy back to me, but I am going to go to where the boy is. And I want to say, what a blessed help that is to parents who've just buried a little child or even a miscarriage. Or, God forbid, a stillborn baby or, a 15 or 18 or 24-month-old little boy or little girl. And that's happened from time to time over the years here, stillborn babies. It's not my son and his wife are not the only ones to travel through that, down that road. And the truth of the matter is, folks, after they had that little stillborn boy, there were four other couples that we learned about around America in the ministry who had still full-term stillborn babies, 8 to 9 months old. And I told a couple weeks ago here, 2 or 3 weeks ago, how that he caught me by surprise when he wanted to stop by the cemetery on the way to the airport to catch the plane back to Madagascar. And we weren't prepared for that. We sat in the truck and watched that couple go out there and kneel by that grave and weep and sob before they got on the plane to leave that little body here in America. I think they just had to say goodbye. But you know, listen, hey, I remember when Ashley, when they came in on a Wednesday night, and we had the little burial service out there on a Friday. And I remember talking with Ashley and saying, you know, she would grow up in a Christian home. She grew up in a Bible preaching church. She's known what the Scripture teaches. But listen, you're human. You're human. And heartstrings are very, very tender. And I remember at the house, either in the kitchen or at the great room there, the family room, just me and Ashley, and I was just reminding her. I wasn't preaching to her, and I wasn't trying to minimize her heartache, but I was trying to help her with the Bible truth that Ashley, I believe with all of my heart, that little Sam is in heaven. I believe that with all of my heart. That little soul's not in the ground. That soul doesn't go in the ground. When physical life leaves the body, that soul goes somewhere. And not just, you know, one of 18 or 19 places, fellas. That's really not funny. You know, I'm talking about something pretty close to the heart. You guys are grinning and stuff. I don't get it. But anyway, I get distracted by stuff like that. That soul's not in the ground. Yeah. I believe with all of my heart, and I'm not just hanging on to some threadbare thing. I believe the Bible teaches what David said. He said, you know, I can't bring that baby back, but I will go to where he is. And I reminded Ashley about that. So I believe that's what that teaches. I believe it's what the Bible teaches. You grew up in church, you know that all your life. Yeah, but when you're cradling a little lifeless infant, your faith is tested and shaken. And it helps to be reminded from the Word of God that I believe those little children, when they pass, they go to heaven. They're where they are in heaven. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and look with me at verse number 34 and 39. I want to show you something that I hope will be, maybe we haven't even gone over this passage before. Here's more, maybe another passage that may help you when you are dealing with somebody, or you help your own cause, your own heart, when you've had to bury a little child or a miscarriage, okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 1, and now we're going to have to pick up this thing here and look with me, beginning at verse number 34. Moses is speaking, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Now let me get the setting for you here in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter, the whole book of Deuteronomy, Moses is getting the children of Israel ready to go over into the land of Canaan, right? Okay? They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're on the border of the land of promise, and they're about to go in, and this is the re-giving of the law. Moses said, okay, we had the law 40 years ago, but before we go into the land of Canaan, I want to give you again, I want to remind you about the law. And he gets them ready to go into the land of Canaan. Now, what Moses is talking about here is a time 40 years earlier when the children of Israel were at the same place. They were at the border of the land of Canaan at a place called Kadesh Barnea. And they were ready to go in. But when they got in, they sent the spies in there. Remember that? And they're looking around all those spies. They see the spies and they come back, 12 guys, and they come back from spying the land of Canaan, and they tell Moses, they say, we can't do it. We can't go in because they got giants over there. And Caleb and Joshua, you know, they say, hey, yes, we can. God said we can have that land. It's a good land. Let's go in and take it because God said we can have it. And they said, no, there's giants over there. Giants. We can't go. 10 against 2. And the people heard the evil report of the 10 spies, and they said, you know what, we're not going in. So listen, they got to the border of the land of Canaan, and they were supposed to go in, and they backed away. They did not go in. And so Moses is reminding them of that. In verse 34, he says, God was wrath, he was upset with you. And he said in verse 35, this happened 40 years ago, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Here's what he said. He said, back when that happened 40 years ago, and the children of Israel did not obey God, God was upset, and he was angry, and he said, okay. He said, tell you what, the only ones that are going to go in are Joshua and Caleb. That's it. Out of this whole crowd, The only ones that are going in are Joshua and Caleb. Moses wasn't going in because he lost his temper. So now you've got Caleb. Okay, this is 40 years after they didn't go into the land of Canaan. 40 years after they didn't go in. The only ones that are going in, Moses is getting them ready to go in, but he's not going. And the only ones who are the only ones who were age 20 or over, out of the ones who were 20 or over 40 years ago, the only ones going in were Caleb and Joshua, because here's what happened. When they said, no, we're not going in, God said, okay, that's fine. He said, here's what's going to happen. He said, all of you over age 20 are not going into the land of Canaan. All of you. Only those 20 years of age or younger. My only exceptions were going to be Joshua and Caleb. So if you get the picture, and I'm sorry for confusing my terminology, you can get the picture here a little bit. You've got the children at the border of the land of Canaan. They're fixing to go in, and they say no. Joshua and Caleb say, yes, let's do it. And these other men are saying, no, we can't, no, we can't. And God said, okay, I'm not very happy with you. And of all the men who are 20 years of age and over, the only ones going in someday are Caleb and Joshua. Now look at verse number 39. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day. Do you see those words? In that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Okay. Here we go. Trace, Trinity, can you all help me this morning? Okay. Let these two little guys come up here. I'm warm, but I'm stumbling this morning, and my brain is fuzzy. Are the fans on? We're not moving any air. That's a mistake. Move some air, okay? Let's get the fans going. That's a. Come here, guys. Are y'all stuffy? No. Yes. Yes. No. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. So, all right. Here we are. Come on, Brother Bragg. You can join us down here. All right. We're at the border of the land of Canaan. God wants us to go in. I'll be the bad guys. Okay? No, we can't go in. There's giants over there. Brother Bragg's one of the... He's either Caleb or Joshua. He says, yeah, let's go in. We can do it. No, I said, yeah, we can't do it. Yeah, we can do it. No, we can't do it. But there's 10 of me and only 2 of him. Him and Caleb. Are you Caleb or Joshua? Which one? Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm the other 10. All right? He represents the 2. And so God says, okay, you know what? You turn back, you're not going in. Tell you what's going to happen. Everybody who's 20 years of age and over, you're not going in. You're going to die in the wilderness. You're going to die. Caleb and Joshua, they're going in. And he said, one of the reasons you didn't want to go in was because you said our children will get killed by those giants. He said, now your children, who in that day had no knowledge? Your children who in that day had no knowledge? Let's make these kids 2 and 3 years of age. 2 and 3 years of age. They didn't make the choice not to go in. Land of Canaan, they don't care. They're with mom and dad. They're happy. See? So there's no willful disobedience on their part. They're there. And they don't know the difference between if we're going in or if we're not going in. All they know is, when's the next meal coming? That's all they know. Okay? So, God said, your children who in that... Now, understand, in Deuteronomy, these guys are 40 plus what they were here. Are you with me? Okay, this is back in the book of Numbers. We're Deuteronomy. And so these guys are 40 years. And you know, 40 years ago, you guys were little bitty children. And your day, the leaders of your people decided they weren't going in. And I punished them by having them die in the wilderness. And I brought you to the place where you're going to go in. Because, see, they were not held accountable because they were not old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. Does that make sense? Took me a long time to say that. Thank you, folks. Man, alive. You can sit down. Thanks. That took a long time to say that. But I think I think the key words in verse number 39, and your children which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. Now here it is, folks. Is a little baby a sinner? Do they know they're a sinner? They don't know their right hand from their left hand. There's a difference in being a sinner and having sin charged to your account. And little children, babies who are stillborn, miscarriages, little 2-3-year-olds who do not know or have the ability to choose between right and wrong because they don't know. Even though they're sinners, sin is not charged to their account. That's why we use the term age of accountability. When a child comes to the age of accountability, where they learn, they know, they are aware, they make a conscious choice to disobey, to lie, a willful choice to do wrong. At some point, every child comes to the age of accountability, where they have that knowledge between good and evil, between right and wrong. But here, God was not going to hold those little children accountable for their parents' decisions when they were too small to ever make a decision. So He let them live. And they went into the Promised Land. Now, I was going to have you turn this morning to the book of Jonah because it helps us. There was, you know, we were in Jonah last Sunday, and we preached about Jonah running out of the will of God. When Jonah finally got to Nineveh and preached, you know, there was revival there, right? And so then after that, Jonah was mad. He was angry because he didn't love the Ninevites. He hated them. He said, "I hate them. So they just die and all perish." And so he's mad. And I'm summarizing. God comes to Jonah and He says, "Man, you're upset. You're angry." He said, "Should not I have spared that great city, wherein were 60,000?" of people who do not know how to discern between the right hand and the left hand. Now, what's he talking about there? 60,000s. Well, a score is 20. 60. 6 times 20 is 120. 120,000 who didn't know how to discern between their right hand and their left hand. People estimate the population of Nineveh at 600,000 because statistics generally tell us that children make up 1/5 of a nation's population. 120,000 would be 1/5 of 600,000. God said, "Jonah, shouldn't I have had compassion on that city? Because in that city, there are 120,000 little children who don't know the difference between right and wrong, how to discern between left and right. We have a great God who is kind and full of compassion, who in grace and mercy does not charge sin to people's accounts until they willingly know and choose the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil." And I believe with all of my heart that until sin is charged to the account, those little children who die go to heaven. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, what age is that accountability?" I don't know. I don't know. That's why you better start early. Teaching your kids that there's a God in heaven who had one son named Jesus, and He sent that Jesus to this earth to die on a cross to save us from our sin because we're all sinners. And God loves you, and God wants you to be saved, and you better start teaching them that early. There are people in this room who could stand right now and say, "I was saved at age 4. saved at age 4. At age 4, they became aware of the fact that they were a sinner. They had knowledge of the fact that they were a sinner. They could discern between the right hand and the left hand, good and evil, right and wrong. And they came aware of that. And at that point in time, that they reached the age of accountability. And at that point in time, friend, oh, listen, it's vitally important that that child be taught they can trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and be born again. Vitally important. But until the age of accountability. I believe the Bible, and I don't think this is just some hope-so, I believe there's an indication here implied in these verses and others that I don't have time to give you this morning, that God in His grace and His mercy covers those little children who aren't old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. I'm glad we have a God like that. I'm glad we have a God like that. Now, obviously, if you're sitting in this room this morning, and you're an older child, or you're a teenager, you're a young adult, or even older, and you've never been saved, you know what the Bible says? That God by no means will clear the guilty. So you need to be saved. And if you have little children in your home, you need to start very early in life teaching them that a great God has provided a great salvation for their little hearts. Now, that's not pie in the sky stuff, but I believe I can stand on that and look a couple in the eye, like I had to do with my own daughter-in-law, and say, I believe your little baby is in heaven. I believe that with all of my heart. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. I apologize for stumbling through part of that. That's the best I could do this morning. Father, thank you for your grace. You are a God full of compassion and kindness. The truth of the matter is, none of us ever deserves salvation. Even after we're saved, consciously trusting Christ as our Savior, we don't deserve it. You take care of it in your mercy and grace. And I pray, Lord, that what was said this morning might bring a little comfort to somebody who, even sitting here in their mind, goes back to a heartache, a sorrow, a difficulty. And God, I pray that you'll please use it to encourage them and help them and bless them this morning. And then, Lord, may those of us with children old enough to be taught understand that we need to be busy teaching our little children that Jesus saves, like the song we sang says, Jesus saves. So speak to the hearts this morning, Lord, as only you can. I can't do it. I can only speak to the ears. But would you drive the truth home to the heart and help the heart that needs it the most this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One of you would say, Pastor, something that was said this morning was a help to me, a blessing to me, or I learned something. But I appreciate what was said, and I believe the Lord will help me with that. Maybe I know somebody that I can help with that. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? Just acknowledge that God spoke to the heart this morning. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, okay, you talked about little children being protected, but I'm not a little child, and I'm not sure that I'm saved. And if you're not saved, friend, then you're not protected from the eternal destiny of hell. So is there somebody here this morning who says, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I've ever been born into God's family. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And all I just want to do, Pastor, is ask you to pray for me, that God will speak to me about that. Would you slip your hand in the air so I could pray for you this morning? Anybody like that, just slip it up and take it right back down. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Visitor, member, doesn't matter. Adult, child, does not matter. Anybody. If you're here this morning, you've been saved but not baptized, I would invite you to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Your step of obedience will make God happy and please Him. Not getting baptized to get saved, but because you are saved. And parents, by all means, I trust that you and I will take this, grandparents, take this message and realize that we have great responsibility to pass on to our children the truth about salvation and Jesus. Because the day is going to come when those kids will know the difference between right and wrong. And that sin will be charged to their account. And then they have to have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless the message to our hearts today. May it help us where we need it. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Ladies, would you play us a song of invitation? And if you want to step out this morning and come, now's the time to do it while we wait. If you need to be saved, I would invite you to come and trust the Lord as your personal Savior. We can have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Now's the time to come. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism while we wait this morning.